Galatians. If you don't know what that is, just keep on turning so you see something that starts with the letter G, and then we'll just stop there. So Galatians, the sixth chapter. Today I want to talk to you guys. So my wife was kind of talking, if you guys were here at the beginning in announcements and stuff like that, she was talking a little bit about what we talked about last week. We talked about the crazy jar lady, and that was kind of cool. It was kind of fresh. It was kind of good. Personally, it's a story I love in the Bible. It's a part of the word that I really get. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible before, but there's some crazy stories in there. I mean, and if you've never read the Bible, maybe you're just reading the wrong parts, you know, because you got to read some parts to understand the other parts, you know. And tonight I want to jump into this, and it's kind of like a little bit. It's kind of like we're kind of like talking a little bit about what we're talking about last week, but we're gonna jump into it. See, last week we were talking about jars like last week, and the crazy jar lady from 2 Kings. This week I want to talk about windows. That's right, windows. We're gonna talk about open windows, not closed windows. Open windows. That's right. We're staying inside the house, looking out the window, seeing the yard, the birds, all that kind of jazz. Today we're talking about windows. And today, you guys have all heard the saying, a window of opportunity, right? Has anybody never heard that saying before? Has anybody ever heard the saying, a window of opportunities? All right, well, let me go ahead and educate some people here today. Because today I want to talk to you guys about the windows of opportunity that God gives us each and every day. If you guys have your Bibles, like I said, go ahead and turn it into Galatians, the sixth chapter. In Galatians 6, there's a verse I want to read it to you guys. It says this. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, the Bible says we're supposed to do good whenever we get the chance, whenever we have the opportunity. This saying, a window of opportunity, it talks about the chance that we have to do something. You know, everybody every day has a window of opportunity to do something. For example, for those of you guys, if you're in 10th grade, hopefully, prayerfully, you have 1 year to do 10th grade. Unless you like 10th grade so much you had to do it again. But I'm not judging nobody. I'm just saying it happens. But you have 1 year to do 10th grade. That's your window of opportunity. You will never, hopefully, prayerfully, be a sophomore again. You know, you will only be 15 once. You have one shot at 15. Whether you do good or bad, you have one shot at 15. Okay, this is your year, girl. You're 15. 1-5. I remember sitting in church one day back when I was 15, thinking, 15. I'm not a kid anymore. Not like 15 or 13. I'm like, I'm 15. I'm a man. I remember thinking that. I remember exactly the chair I was sitting in when I was in church. I was thinking that. And then like, I don't know. Okay. So you have one shot. You have one chance. It's almost like those movies. You know the movies where like the hero is running, whoosh, 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 and there's like fire coming behind him, or like a monster, or like some crazy lady with a knife. And he's like, ah! He's got like a statue. He's like running through the temple. And all of a sudden he slides, whoosh, and like the door is slowly closing. The doors are coming together. The monster is reaching out. All of a sudden, bam! Just the last moment, he escapes. It's like his window of opportunity. I mean, it's just like Indiana Jones. I mean, he just barely squeaks by as the door closes. He's like, whew, pew, and it closes. And it's all over. That's a window of opportunity. And you see, it's illustrated like that on a big, grand Hollywood scale. But the truth is, that's the way life is each and every day. You have a window of opportunity. You have, you know, on average, 12 hours of daylight to do daylight stuff, you know, and then it's over, and then, you know, things change, and it's you're 16 all of a sudden, or you're out of high school, you know. I mean, if I try to do high school things or go to your high school campus now, I'll get arrested, or people would think I'm weird and creepy, because I'm not 16 anymore, you know? My opportunity is gone. Brother, I'm getting old. My hair is getting gray. My bone's starting to ache. And my breath is stanky, you know? And I can't do it again. It's almost like people should make like a saying or something, like, you only live once or something. I mean, anyway, it's like you have a window of opportunity that is slowly diminishing. And if you miss it, you miss it. And oftentimes, some opportunities never come back. I know a man that was struck by lightning twice. That usually doesn't happen. Some people are unlucky enough to have lightning strike them once, some twice. And most people don't even have that opportunity. I guess opportunity to get struck by lightning? I don't know. I guess it's a kind of crazy thing. But, you know, but look. Most things in life come once around. And if you miss it, you'll miss it. You see, God wants us right here. He says, take every opportunity. When the window's open, go through it. When the door it has been unlocked, walk through it. When the opportunity comes, seize it with everything you have, because you never know. You never know where that opportunity will take you to. If you miss one opportunity, it could set you back years. I've seen it happen time and time to people. Everything was lined up, and they miss it, and they jack something up, or something happens. In John 9, 4, if you got it, go, just go ahead and put it up there. In John 9, Jesus has an interesting statement. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me, my Father who sent me, Jesus. While it's day, the night's coming, and nobody can work. You see, there's only so much time to do something. There was this crazy story, and I've heard it several times before. I've researched it, and there was this man about 150 or so years ago, back in the 1800s. His name was Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody, and if you know anything about Christianity or college or seminary and stuff like that, which you probably don't because you're not like a nerd or a pastor or anything like that, but this man, he started revivals, and this man did amazing things for God, and he even started Bible colleges and institutes to train pastors. He did all these really great things, you know, back in the day. I don't know if you have a picture of him, but the brother pretty fresh here. Let me see. Do we have Moody up there? Look at that. I mean, look, when you can grow a beard like that, you just know the brother's got something going on. I mean, really, really. I mean, if I could do that, I would do it. But then people probably look at me weird. And my wife wouldn't kiss me. So back in 1871, something really amazing happened. You know, he was a pastor in 1871, and he was preaching fire. Brother was spitting flames. I mean, he was raining down the pain on people, and it was really good. I mean, the guy was having church on one Sunday, October 8th. I believe it was October 8th in 1871, and all of a sudden, near the end of church, they began to hear bells. And they realized in Chicago it was a fire bell. Now, they didn't have Twitter and text messages and TV and public service announcements or anything like that, you know. What they had is throughout the city, they had these bells that would ring. And he was nearing the end of his service, and they heard this bell ringing. So, there's a fire. Well, he said, well, you know what? He thought to himself, well, okay, let me wrap up the sermon. Let me shut things down, bring up the big dude with the glasses, and he can go ahead and start singing a song, and we'll just kind of, you know, make this end really nice and pretty. So he wraps the service up, and he tells everybody, you know what, guys? Look, Jesus loves you guys, and I want you guys to leave this week, and I want you to think this week about how much Jesus loves you, and if you need to make certain decisions, if you need to get your life right with God, then you know what? Go home, do what you got to do, and we'll see you guys next week. Well, everybody left. I mean, the church was packed. Everybody left, and everybody went home, and he went out, and he went to the north side of the city, began to help out, see what the fire was, but he didn't realize this, but that bell announced the greatest, most devastating, most deadly fire in all of American history. It was the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Over 1,000 people died. The fire burned in the city for 3 days. 3 days in the city. You know, if you were, I don't know if you guys were probably like little kids when the mountains burned over here. And I don't know if you remember it, but that fire burned for days, but that was the forest. You know, it was little suburbs. This was a city, like New York. Could you imagine if New York was on fire for 3 days straight? Well, this is what happened. It was the most deadly fire in American history. And his church burned down. He never saw his congregation again. There was no next Sunday, because nobody had any place to meet. He didn't find them. He didn't see them. And the church wasn't rebuilt. See, he had an opportunity that night, that morning, that Sunday, to tell somebody about Jesus. Instead, he said, you know what? I'll wait till next week. And next week never came. See, he said that Sunday changed the rest of my life. He said, that was the most important Sunday of my entire life because I realized that I can't play games. He said, I realized that some opportunities never come back. He said, I realized that people's lives hang in the balance and some of my congregation died and I never saw any of them ever again, whether they moved away, whether they went to another church, you know, but I couldn't find them on Facebook because it wasn't invented. He said, from that Sunday on, I lived my life as if every day was going to be its last. See, there's a window of opportunity in your life today. There's something you need to do. And you may only have another week to do it. You may only have another day to do it. Look. You may only have another year to do this. And if you don't do it now, I'm going to tell you this. You may not be able to do it when you finally get around to it. You see, Jesus said it's daytime now, guys. It's daytime. It's go time. It's now time. It's let's do this. Let's get to it now because when it's nighttime, when the opportunity has passed, there's no reset, there's no replay, there's no rewind, there's no do-overs. Look, it is now or never. And I don't know about you, but I don't want never. I want now. Because if I want to go where I want to go, I need to go through every door that God leads me to, every opportunity. If the window's even cracked open, if all I can get is a little ugly pinky finger inside that freaking window, then Lord, let me squeeze every little part of me in! I don't want to miss a moment. A moment like this, I don't want to miss it. Because D.L., not Hughley, but D.L. Moody missed it. And he never had another chance to do it. See, every day holds an opportunity. And here's the thing. Every opportunity holds a blessing. So the question is, what are you holding on to? Are you going to get hold of it? Or is it going to slip through your fingers? What are you holding on to? Because every day God brings you an opportunity. You see, you have to look for opportunities. Now, if you're taking notes, you can write this one down. Put a little bit of big number one and say, look for opportunities. See, you got to look for opportunities. See, the windows and doors are kind of funny. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but windows and doors are stationary objects. Deep revelation, I know. Going deep, these are massive spiritual truths we're laying on you guys here. This is what they send people to seminary for. Is doors don't move. I know. Unless it's an elevator, but we're not talking about elevators. Doors and windows, they're there. See, a door will not come to you. A window will not say, gosh, you know what? I need somebody to jump through me. And it's that guy over there, so maybe I'll... No. The only way to enter a building is for you to approach it. You have to go to it. You have to move it. And see, you have to look for these things. Because nobody's ever entered a door sitting on a couch. I've never seen that happen before. And the one dude who did, the couch was too big. It don't fit. You'll never enter a door sleeping on a bed. You've got to go to the door. You've got to approach it. You see, we talked last week in 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, we talked about this jar lady. Well, if you weren't there, her husband died, and she had no way of feeding her family. She needed a miracle because her kids were too little. There was a man coming to kidnap them to pay for her debts. I mean, she was a woman who had nothing left. And she came to a pastor, a prophet, a man of God, and said, look, I need God to do something. See, her husband died, and she could have said, everything's over. I'm just going to sit here and rot. You know, one of the things when something bad happens and when nothing's working, one of the things you want to do is just sit on your butt and cry and listen to, like, Taylor Swift or something. And it's you just want to listen to the sad songs, and you want to think, oh, my life sucks, and I wish this, and I wish that. If only I would have, I could have, if only. And you can't. can't do that because the door is sitting waiting. It's open. It wants you to walk through it. But if you're over in the corner eating a gallon of ice cream, sitting in your tears, you're going to miss it. And somebody's going to slam the door in your face. You've got to get up off your butt and go through the window. Dive through it. Jump through it because it's coming after you. You see, the lady's, her husband's dead. There's no going back, you know. I mean, the zombie apocalypse didn't happen at that time. And she said, well, look, I can either have this ruin my life or this could be an opportunity for God to do something amazing. So she found the prophet, the pastor, and said, okay, my husband's dead. I got no money. This is a perfect opportunity for God to do a miracle. And hey, I need one. You think God can do it? And he did it. She got off her butt and looked for something to happen. Look, your friends are jacked up. They got problems. Look, you know that because some of you guys in here, your friends come to you all the time telling you their problems. You're the one they like release it to, you know? That's an opportunity. You're like D.L. Moody. You just don't know it yet. And you've got to encourage somebody. With or without the beard, tell somebody about Jesus. That's an opportunity. Are you sick and tired of hearing your friends whine and complain about all the drama in their life? You're done. It's like seriously, you just went through this problem last week. Well, then stop just listening to it and realize that's an opportunity to share with them the hope and love of Jesus Christ. And if they could get Jesus Christ in their life, then maybe, just maybe, God will heal them of their drama. And then instead of them complaining to you, they'll ask you if you need prayer. I don't know, something amazing could happen. I don't know. It's an opportunity. You got to look for it. And not just that, but you have to recognize it. I saw parts of this movie. Have you ever seen 27 Dresses? This is like the dumbest movie in the entire world. I'm sorry. I'm not a woman, okay? I prefer other movies like Die Hard and Mega Violence Kill 'Em All and stuff like that. I'm sorry. It would be an awesome, awesome movie if it was one. But, you know, so I'm watching this movie. And are there men here? Have you ever watched a romantic comedy and thought, whatever, go home. Anyway. Because you have. You know you have. If you haven't, then you never had a girlfriend. Okay, so I'm just saying, a man who has a girlfriend watches stuff like this. If you're a good boyfriend. But we'll talk about that next month. Okay. You guys. So I'm watching this dumb movie. And it's like, if you ever watched a romantic comedy, from the beginning, you know that this whole story is dumb. Because from the beginning, you know exactly how to solve this problem. You get with you and you stay away and then get this girl out of the picture and we solved. Hey, movie done in 5 minutes. Bam! Let me eat my popcorn in peace. You know what I'm saying? Movie done. Problem solved. Matter of fact, I'll let you keep the $18 for the movie ticket. But instead, this movie, like, this girl likes this dude, but she's never told him she likes the dude. But then the dude starts liking her sister because he's dumb and she's dumb. And the sister, I don't even know what she's doing because she's like, rear. And then all of a sudden, this other dude writes this story, but he doesn't know that, she doesn't tell him that he's writing this story. And he's like, cute, I guess. And he likes her, but she doesn't like him because she's too stuck on the dude that she can't have. Exactly. So this dude likes her, but he does something stupid. So she doesn't like him in the first place, but then she really doesn't like him because he did something stupid. But he's like a really good catch because he's not a jerk like the other guy that she likes. And then all of a sudden, something happens. I don't know because I stopped paying attention to the movie. And then she finally realizes that the dude that she didn't like is the dude she should like. So they get together and married or something like that. And then she only has 28 dresses. Dumbest movie in the world. And the whole reason it's dumb is because she has something great in front of her, but she doesn't realize it because she's too focused on the dumb thing in front of her, and she misses the opportunity almost because the dumb guy is the one she wants and not the good guy. Dumbest movie in the world.
Can I get an amen? Please, church. Man, people live their life all the time that way. God says, I want the best for you. But then people say, no, I don't. I want my way, God. And God says, but really, my way is better and you won't have a bad day. But we're like, no, God, no. This girl really is the one for me because she's like easy or something. And God's like, you're going to get in trouble. And then all of a sudden you're like, no. And then we're like, oh, God, why? I should have done it your way. And God's like, I told you so. Oh, that's next month. Anyway, problem is this. We don't recognize the opportunity God gives us. And instead, we have our eyes focused on other things instead of looking for the things that God wants us to have in our life. You got to recognize opportunities. Ecclesiastes 3:1, way over in the back-ish of the Bible, back in the beginning-ish. Ecclesiastes, it's, if you don't know how to read it, it's kind of a sad, depressing book. But if you know how to read it, it's pretty amazing. But, you know, it's an interesting set of verses. It says, in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And it goes through the next seven verses saying there's a time for this and a time for that, and a time for this and a time for that, and a time for this and a time for that, and a time for this. It's almost like somebody made a song out of it or something like that. You know, I wish somebody would, because then it would be easier to memorize. Time to turn. Never mind, you guys don't know. Anyway, and if you look at this, there's a time for everything. You just have to recognize it. You have to realize when the opening is. You have to realize when it's time to take advantage of the situation. You have to recognize, and I have to recognize these things. You see, here's one of the problems, is the word opportunity has nicknames because it looks like other things. Just like, you know, some of you guys, especially if you grew up in a Mexican family, you know, sometimes you give little Mexican kids like nicknames and then they never outgrow them. Yeah, I know. The kid with the big cheeks, you know, is like, I mean, it's like sad. You never outgrow them. You have nicknames because of what you look like when you're a little baby. You can't help it if you have big thighs. Okay. There's going to be chonsies or whatever. I don't even know what these words mean. So anyway, opportunity has nicknames. And his nicknames are like work. Another one of his nicknames is challenge. Yeah, another one of the nicknames that opportunity has is suffering. Opportunity is also known as the word suffering. Opportunity has a nickname called difficulty. Opportunity has a nickname called inconvenient. And as you see, a lot of us, we grow up our whole life learning how to avoid these things. Oh, that's hard. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't like doing it. Oh, that's just suffering. God's blessed me to not suffer. You know, and we lie to ourselves all the time. But you see, that's the thing, is opportunity looks like suffering. Opportunity looks like work. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's one of the things we're all trying to avoid, right? You want me to go towards that? Lord, that's the devil, you know? And we train ourselves to avoid these things. But God wraps opportunity in these things all the time. So if that's what you have right now in front of you, if you are having a difficulty in front of you, right now you need to change the name to opportunity. Because every difficulty is an opportunity disguised as a challenge. Every challenge is an opportunity disguised as suffering. Every piece of work is an opportunity disguised as something that'll make you sweat. It'll make you sore. It'll make you want to quit. That's what opportunity looks like. The woman with the jars, her only opportunity to miracle came when her husband died. Look, that preacher's opportunity came at an inconvenient time. Oh, when the city's burning down. That's why they have fire alarms, to get people out. Because the building's burning. And that's what his opportunity was disguised as. His opportunity to save souls was disguised as the worst fire in American history. And he missed it because it was inconvenient. God, can't you seriously, God, you can't hold off this fire for another 5 minutes for me to finish my sermon? No. Because that's the opportunity. Last chance they had. Bam. See, Number one, you have to look for opportunity. Number two, you have to recognize it, because it doesn't always look that way. It comes disguised oftentimes as inconvenience. You see, opportunity is everywhere. But most opportunity is left exactly where it's placed. It's never picked up. It never is born. Because people walk by it every day. They avoid it. We avoid it all the time. I, Pastor Richard, avoids it all the time. Because it doesn't look like something I want. Until you pick it up, you crack it open. And oh my gosh, that's in there. That's what's inside of it. I want that. You have to recognize it when it comes to you. There's a time for everything. And in everything, it's an opportunity to do something great. And then when you see it and you recognize it, you've got to seize it. You have to seize it. 1 Corinthians, last verse. Let's shut this down. 1 Corinthians, I'll just keep on talking. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Okay, here's what happens a lot of times. Like I said, opportunities, they get left where they're found. You know, there are thousands, if not millions, of songs left unwritten because somebody said five more minutes. There's millions of songs that should have been written, never written, never sold a single record, never played on the radio, never sung in a church because somebody said 5 more minutes and I'll get to it. I can't tell you how many souls are lost because they said next time. Moody knows that. That preacher knows that. Because he said, he told the people, think about this and we'll deal with it next week. How many souls around the world are lost because they said next time? I'll quit next week. One more drink, one more time, one more party to say, see ya next time. Opportunity lost. How many diplomas were never taken because they said, you know what, when it's a little bit easier. See, an opportunity has to be seized. It has to be taken hold of. Because right now inside of you are dreams that need to be born. Dreams that need to be born. But they won't be born next week. And they shouldn't be born 5 minutes from now. And the things that you need to say shouldn't be said tomorrow. If you should do it now. Oh my gosh, I see it every time I go to my mom's house in San Diego. We go through the 60 freeway. If you live out there, you go there, you know what I'm talking about. There's like this, there's this billboard I see. It's this big, ugly red billboard, and it says, the number one killer of men in America is stubbornness. And it's true. I hate going to the doctors. I can't remember the last time I've been to the doctors. I hate it. If something hurts, I tell you, no, I don't know, guys, I don't know if you do this too, but if something hurts in me, my body, I say, you know what, I'll give it a week. If it still hurts, then I'll go to the doctor. I do it all the time. That's what I do all the time. Does anybody else? You're dead. Okay, a lot of men, some of the ladies here. All right, thank you, Wayne. Batman, eye to eye. Next week, look, you have to seize the opportunity yet. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Bible says this will shut this bad boy down. It says, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, I'm going to tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. He says, I'm going to stay put in this city for a couple months. Why? Because a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. He said, look, I'm not moving because God's given me an opportunity here. He says, I'm supposed to go to this city. I got things to do. I got people to see. I got tents to make. I got haircuts to be done. He said, but you know what? I'm not doing that because God's given me an opportunity right here. This is the door that's open to me. It's great. It's effective. There's something to be done, and I'm not moving because this is where the action is. This is where the business needs to be dealt with. He says, there's a great and effective door open. A window is open to me. And if I was to move, I'd be the dumbest man in the world. Because all the opportunity is here. Every day you go to school, Monday through Friday, with the exception of next Monday, probably. I don't know about you, but school sucks. Hate school. Well, depending on the subject, but you don't realize, we don't realize school's an opportunity. I'm not going to give you like some speech about your potential, all that kind of jazz that people tell you, you know, because you have potential. But I'm saying this. School's hard. The people are mean. It's boring, and you want to fall asleep, especially during second period. First, can't even wait that. Okay. But look, it's either something that you have to endure or something that you have to try to survive through, or it's opportunity for you to grab it by the throat and choke the life out of it and get as much as you can out of school, because you'll never see those people again. Chances are, look, I know you say KIT and we're going to be BFFs forever and we'll be friends on Facebook and I'll message you and you message me. Look, it doesn't happen, man. When you graduate high school, you're not going to see those people again because they got things to do. Chances are. So get the most out of it. Tomorrow, look, you're in church. I don't know if you realize this, but you're in a great church. You're in a phenomenal church. You're in a world-changing church. And while you're here, you have the opportunity to connect with the God who loves you, to bring people to this place so they can have their lives changed. Because chances are that you're in this place because God changed your life, because there's something that you like about it. There's something that attracts you here. There's something good about this place. And you need to take every opportunity to do what you can to share the love of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you this, it's daytime right now in our world, but there'll be a time where the sun's going to set and things will get very difficult. Take advantage of it now, because the bell's ringing, the fire's coming, buildings are falling, and people's lives are at stake. Your future is at stake, and the window will only be open for so long. You see, every day brings you an opportunity, and every opportunity brings you a blessing. So the question is, are you taking hold of that blessing, or are you letting it go up in smoke, never to be had again? Don't miss it, because your blessing today will get you to where you need to go tomorrow. Don't miss the bus. Don't let the fire burn your future down. Don't let the alarm scare you into canceling your opportunity that God's putting right in front of you. And don't miss the opportunity just because it looks like a word you don't like. Suffering, challenge, difficulty, work. Difficulty, inconvenience. Because you know what? Sometimes the uglier the opportunity, the more beautiful the reward it brings. I know that because the cross that Jesus died on was the ugliest opportunity in all of creation, but it brought the greatest reward in all of time. Jesus could have let that cross go. He could have. Don't get me wrong, he could have. But we never would have found the blessing behind it. So what's your cross? What's your opportunity? Don't let it pass you by. Don't miss it, because the window is closing. Do it now. You guys got anything? God, let's give him a praise. Dang.